and welcome to episode 317 of NWR Connectivity, also known as What Happens When You Take a Joke Way Too Far. I am your host, Matt Zawadniak. With me, as always, is my regular co-host, Joe DeVader.
Speaking of taking a joke way too far.
And, of course, Connectivity editor, Alex DeFreitas.
Are you sick of these yet?
So, I'm just to break kayfabe for just a second. We did legitimately like record these over the span of like 2 months.
Yeah.
And we played Circle of the Moon, recorded, played Harmony of Dissonance, then recorded. Then we played Aria of Sorrow, and here we are now. And I was really hoping that the exact situation that actually happened wouldn't happen, where we just kind of don't like these games.
I'm fine with them. Don't you lump me in with your bullshit. I'm fine with all I'm fine with two of these games. Circle of the Moon is bad. Circle of the Moon is indefensible.
Well, so to pull it back for a moment and give this like a proper introduction, of course, this is the third episode of the Castlevania Game Boy Advance Game Club, where today we are talking about Castlevania Aria of Sorrow. And I'm sorry to say that I just didn't like any of these, I think, which maybe we should have seen coming because I didn't like Symphony of the Night. But I just kind of figured that maybe it was just the one off that I wouldn't like. And then Circle of the Moon, it's like, oh, okay, Iga didn't work on that. But then like neither Harmony of Dissonance or Aria of Sorrow really, really did it for me. And like Aria of Sorrow feels like such an iterative release to me. It's such a smaller release in terms of like what's actually different. I don't know if you guys got that feel at all.
I think there were some very smart changes in Aria specifically. I think taking on the powers of your enemies is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I think Aria changes things up a lot in like giving you traversal upgrades that I felt like were really missing in Harmony of Dissonance. So I think Aria is overall an upgrade. The core of these games is that you have to level grind specifically for some of the harder bosses, and I just couldn't bring myself to do that. Overall, I think Aria is a better game.
I think that Harmony feels better to move in, simply yes, because of the forward and backward dash. I think that adds a whole lot to the game, and Aria kind of gets rid of that.
Yeah, you lose the R button in order to use like other abilities that you can kind of mm-hmm. hot swap between, but not having the dashes and not having that nice feeling whip from Harmony of Dissonance did feel like a step back.
Mm-hmm. I do feel like it's a really, really cool idea that they got rid of sub-weapons. Sub-weapons go to hell. They're out of here. You don't get like the boomerang cross or any of that anymore. Like Alex mentioned, you get the powers from the various different enemies. And they're random drops, a lot like Circle of the Moon did it, but they're a lot more common than Circle mm-hmm. of the Moon.
Oh, yeah. And none of them are required either, which is mm-hmm. something that evidently Ego would forget later when he was working on Bloodstained.
Beautiful. Did either of you have ones? I know neither of you beat it. I'm the only one that beat it. Did either of you get to a point where you had a weapon that you were just like, yeah, no, this is good? Like the enemy abilities, I guess is what I should call them.
Honestly, like I got the throwing spear like really early, and there was not a single one that I got after that where I was like, yeah, I'll take this over the throwing spear.
I think there was one that I got from, I think it's called like a Tiny Devil or something, where it shoots out a ton of little projectiles that home in. That one's pretty good. I stuck with that one for a very long time. But yeah, there was definitely a point where I was like, this is the one I'm going to stick with. And even though I'm getting a whole lot of other ones, none of them are quite doing it for me the same way. So yeah, I didn't really swap between them as much as I think the game wanted me to.
So I got real lucky very early in the game, and I got Valkyrie. And Valkyrie's ability is to create a giant pretty water lady with a giant sword who swings forward. And you can only use this 3 times with your MP, but when it hits, it does like 400 damage.
Oh, that wow. sounds like I would have finished the game if I had that too.
It was crazy useful. I never switched off of that one. That's the one And the fact that like MP does very slowly come back, but you can also get hearts. Hearts are now MP refill, which was really weird for me to like associate that with my in my brain.
I mean, it MP is effectively the same thing as sub-weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah, ammo. But in the last two games, those were separate values because MP was for spells and hearts was for sub-weapons. Now both of those are the same thing. And I don't know, for some reason my brain was having trouble adding the connection to that until like halfway through the game. But yeah, Valkyrie, 100% would recommend.
Hey, last game was my first Castlevania game, so seeing hearts and not getting a health restore, that was way more mind-boggling than having to make the jump from sub-weapon to MP.
Yeah, that's something that you kind of just get used to from the classic games, but your hearts have never been a health restore in Castlevania. Yeah,
it's always been giant roast chickens.
Yeah, it's just like Kid Icarus. If you go back, hearts are currency, not health.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's really cool and great and very happy.
That shouldn't fly in 2011.
But at this point, it was a very iconic part of Castlevania, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Which that's kind of, you know, iconic Castlevania stuff is just, I guess, what they want to try to stick to at this point.
Well, you say at this point as if there's been a Castlevania game made in the past, like, 6 years.
By at this point, I meant Aria of Sorrow, because like that's the same skeleton sprite as Symphony of the Night. Probably. Still,
I thought the sprites and the environments looked a lot better in this one. Actually, I think they didn't have to compensate for the GBA screen as much. Maybe that's just something that is more perception than actual reality. But
I think also being able to make Soma Cruz the very, very memorable protagonist of Aria of Sorrow, a smaller presence on the screen helps with that.
Oh yeah,
because like Harmony was a lot more visually easy to parse than Circle, because you know Juiced was huge on the screen, but that also just meant that environments were very cramped because they couldn't be bigger because of how zoomed in the screen was. And now pulling it in, they did find a good way of, I don't know how the fuck they did it, but they found a way to make it so that like you can always visually figure out what's going on and where Soma's standing and all that, while not being what if there was a blue after image everywhere you walked.
Yeah, and I would say that's even just something that generally games of this era on the GBA really struggled with sometimes, is just like readability of what's going on.
Well, because there's just not a lot of screen real estate to work with.
Yeah, and that leads to a lot of games being very difficult to play. So I will say that like the overall aesthetic style of Aria of Sorrow is very successful, I would say. And I played it in a way that simulated the original Game Boy Advance screen colors. So I kind of saw it as it was supposed to be. And I think that it looks really good like that. Honestly, every time that I looked at like the pure sprite colors that you would see in the collection that you guys played, it just kind of looked like wrong. Like it was way too oversaturated. It was way too bright. There was a lot of atmosphere that I felt you lose with just that level of bright colors.
You heard it here. Matt says the only way to play video games is with a GBA screen out in the sun.
Correct.
With sunglasses.
With sunglasses and the sun directly shining on the screen.
Look, you kids don't understand what it was like back in the day.
When there was no backlight.
You know, we didn't even have a front light until the Game Boy Advance SP. That was the greatest invention of all time.
What are you talking about? You never had a warm light?
No, warm light's a different thing.
It's on the front.
Yeah,
no, it's lighting the screen.
No, it's plugged into the side. That's a top light.
Top light.
You kids today don't know how good you have it.
Speaking of, the plot of this game is weird. This is the last game to have happened on the Castlevania timeline.
This game like puts real life eclipses into the Castlevania timeline, like really specifically.
It's about Soma Cruz, the Japanese boy. named Soma Cruz, and his friend who's a shrine maiden. I don't remember her name. because she doesn't matter. She disappears after the first like 3 minutes of the game, and
no, she still she doesn't disappear. She just stays in that one spot. If you go back there, she's still there.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
That's stupid. Why is she even here? You guys get teleported into Dracula's castle, which has been trapped in an eclipse somehow.
Yeah, they never go into that.
And yeah, they don't.
Still haven't.
And you meet Genya Arikado, who is definitely okay. Not Alucard. Why does everybody keep saying that? His hair is black. Alucard's is white. Ergo.
Joe, do you know what Alucard is backwards?
What is Alucard backwards, Matt?
Arikado.
Oh, shit. It was there all along. I really like that you meet a lady who's, I forget her first name, but her last name is Belnades, which I only know that is significant because I watched the Netflix anime, because that is the wizard girl's last name, which means she is a descendant or ancestor of sorts, connected family tree-wise to the Belmonts very closely. So that's kind of cool. They never explain any of that. And also, I don't know why she's there, because she does more than Alucard, but less than anybody else ever.
I remember meeting her, and she told me to watch out for that one guy, Graham Jones.
Yeah.
And Soma was like, what? But he seemed so nice.
Yep.
And then Soma runs into Graham again, and they have a conversation that largely, like, doesn't say anything.
A later conversation, I think, Soma mentions having some sort of power, and Graham's like, oh, what power is that? Soma's like, oh, it's the power to control monsters. And Graham immediately turns and is like, fuck you. Go away. I'll kill you if I see you again.
Okay, it's awesome. So I didn't get that cutscene, but I think the game thought that I did. Because then I saw what's her name again, and Soma said to her, like, man, you were right. Graham would just like got really angry at me for no reason. I'm like, that's not how I read that at all.
I believe he also like attacks her at one point, and then she also stops being in the game. The ending I got, there are three endings in this game. None of them are as stupid as Harmony's. I'm never gonna, for as long as I live, I'm never gonna forget the ending of, ah, oh, all my friends are dead and it's my fault. I suck. Credit roll. But none of them are that. But obviously, the whole game is building up to either Soma or Graham are going to become Dracula. That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
They've been lured here because they have the same power of Dracula. Dracula's looking to be some possessing bullshit, because we have mentioned this. They mentioned that there was a Belmont that managed to murder Dracula forever.
Yeah, the
1999.
Battle of 1999.
Yeah, there's no game about that.
No, there's not.
There's no game that takes place in 1999.
It's just casually mentioned in this one.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, we know that Julius Belmont was the one that did it.
Yeah,
that's about it. Him.
We meet Julius Belmont.
Mm-hmm. And he only remembers that his name starts with J.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good that's job. Right.
Good job, sir.
But it's kind of weird that there's just this huge moment in the timeline that we just haven't seen and might not.
And I don't remember. Well, yeah, they'd have to make another Castlevania first. And this is
they'd have to care first.
This is a Konami. Yeah,
they're never going to do that.
This is a Konami property. We're never going to see another one of these ever. We're going to see a Silent Hill before we see this. And I hate that I'm right.
What if we just see a game come out called Bloodstained that takes place in 1999? We'll just all know. We'll all know.
Fuck, Iga, do that. Iga, if you're listening, do that. Do that right now. I I mean, knowing us, the instant this episode drops, Konami is going to announce Castlevania.
No, I don't want to be a part of the curse. I don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, too late. You already ended up here. It's not up to you.
This is connectivity.
Look, things I've said on original sound chat have come true. The curse stretches. It has ceased just being slasher pieces. I said there were F-Zero GX was definitely not on Nintendo Switch Online, and then the day after that episode came out, F-Zero GX was added to Nintendo Switch Online.
You mean F-Zero X?
It's X. Why do I keep calling it GX? GX is the GameCube, you know, because it has a G.
That is how I know, actually.
That's you're probably not wrong, because the arcade one is F-Zero AX.
Yep. But the endings that I remember, I don't remember what the quote-unquote best ending is, but there's one where Soma becomes Dracula, and that's the bad ending. And there's the one where Graham becomes Dracula and Soma fucking kills him. That's the ending I got. And that ending was... You know how I was saying none of the other NPCs matter in this game? None of them do anything? This ending is Soma standing at the shrine that they had walked in through, and Alucard walks up and goes, "You did it. You got out." And Soma goes, "Wait, what about everybody else?" And Alucard just says, "Don't worry, they'll be here in a minute." And then the credits roll.
Oh my God.
And they never walk on screen again. They don't even get to be in the last scene of the game.
It was really like the devs were just, we're not bothering animating them walking on.
It's so good.
So what does end up being the deal with Alucard?
He's just there. He's there to make sure his dad doesn't resurrect, I assume. That's his usual thing. He doesn't do anything. He does nothing. You encounter him at the beginning of the game, and then you encounter him at the end of the game. And I don't remember encountering him at any point between those two events.
Oh.
He's just here.
I see.
Sorry, Genya Arakado is just here.
Does he ever actually reveal that he's Alucard?
No.
Oh,
but the Belnades lady almost accidentally calls him Alucard at one point.
I did catch that.
In case you hadn't figured out that was him, that was supposed to be the reveal.
Oh,
yeah. Maybe in the third ending that I didn't get and didn't bother looking up, but I didn't need another ending. That one was good. That one was great.
So I overall feel like, even though I don't like this game, it's kind of like, in a way, what I would have wanted out of Castlevania if I did like this franchise more. Because it is kind of just Castlevania, but more. And you get like the little twists each game. And that, for me, because I didn't really get into them as much, just makes it very difficult to talk about. Because this isn't like Metroid or Zelda, where each game is so substantially different from the others, so we have a lot more that we could say in these episodes.
I also think that Metroid is a lot closer than you're giving it credit for. It's just that there's, you know, 5 Metroid games and 30 Castlevania games.
Okay, well, I've played 5 Castlevania games, and those 5 Metroid games are better.
Yeah, but better doesn't mean different. I guarantee you Metroid is as close to each other as they are, but also, yeah, Metroid's better designed. That's what helps it get along. It's not that each game is substantially different, because I disagree that Super Metroid and, like, Metroid Fusion are that substantially different in terms of gameplay, but it's that they, you know, there's not a billion Metroid games, and also they're better designed in general.
I also think that the wrinkles in each Metroid game extends the differences a little bit more than you might think. Like, you're doing a lot of the same stuff, but the Fusion's linearity or Super Metroid's lack of like spelling things out for you, those differences make it more interesting to talk about, because it feels like a fundamental game design change rather than like there's just a different system in each of these Castlevania Advance games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that the differences that there are in Metroid are more about the core design of the game.
Right.
Whereas the differences in these Castlevania games are mainly in the side things, like the magic system or the interior
decorating simulator.
Yeah, the interior decorating. It's not stuff that changes the core way that you play the game like in the Metroid games. So that's kind of what makes them not feel as distinct to me. I guess that's how there are so many of them, to be honest, because the changes are more iterative.
I think it also helps that Metroid, usually when it gets a new installment, it is jumping to like higher technology than the last one was. Whereas we just played 3 Castlevania games on Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, it's a lot of reused assets. So
every game that we talked about on the Metroid Game Club was on a different system.
Yeah, I think
Fusion and Zero Mission are the same.
Yes, but Zero Mission was also a remake.
Yes.
Of an NES game.
Right.
Even. And, like, I think that also helps a lot.
Yeah, and these 3 games were all on the same system, so it was a much more compressed scale of time.
In fact, I want to say these games came out within 5 years of each other.
I think they did. RioSR came out in 2003, and I think 01 was Circle of the Moon?
Yeah, 2001. March 21st, 2001. So, literally, these came out once a year for 3 years.
And this when did the DS game come franchise. Out? Because the DS came out in 2004, right? Like the first DS?
What was the first DS one?
I have never played any of the DS games. I don't even know what they're called.
Well, they're like sequels to the Aria of Sorrow. It's called Dawn of Sorrow. Okay.
Dawn of Sorrow was 2005.
All right, so they took a year off.
This was basically an annualized franchise for a while, which is really funny thinking about Konami now. And yeah. Now we'll never see another Castlevania as long as we live.
That's probably both its strength and weakness in a way. I don't think Castlevania becomes as big a brand as it did without releasing so often. But I also think releasing so often is part of why it just doesn't really work as well for me, because the changes are so small along the way that it's just kind of difficult for me to really get into it.
I think Castlevania works better as a timeline than it does as games. The Belmont timeline and the timeline of Dracula's Resurrections, I think, are very interesting. And I don't think it's an accident that the Netflix show is pretty good, considering it's based on an NES game followed by events that followed the NES game that aren't in the game and aren't in a game, as far as I'm aware. And now they're finally skipping Castlevania 1 to go to Rondo of Blood and Symphony of the Night, which are the best ones. Or Rondo of Blood's the best one, but you know what I mean.
They're skipping Simon entirely.
Who cares about Simon? Simon is just a buff dude with a whip.
That's unfortunately true, yeah. Simon already got his TV show.
Am I missing the joke?
Captain N. N, the Game Master. Oh, Simon Belmont is one of the characters.
All right.
Alongside Kid Icarus.
He's literally Narcissus. It's fucking stupid. That show was sure a thing that existed in this world.
Well, I don't know if we have much else to really say.
I want to talk about the bosses real quick. I feel like these were more, at least, I didn't play Circle of the Moon, but these felt like how you guys describe the bosses at Circle of the Moon, where you just fought them forever. I found Harmony of Dissonance's bosses to be a little easier, actually. Like, their health pools weren't as large.
I would say that probably has to do with what we were talking about with the movement and the controls. Because the fact that you don't have as many options for movement means that you obviously just have fewer options to fight bosses.
Okay.
And that, I really felt that in this game, where it just was generally more difficult to position myself and pull off what I wanted to do. And you had to kind of commit to things a little more, which I don't know if I like in games that are this kind of stiff in a way.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, there's also definitely an amount of you just need to level up and you just need to get more stats, which I really don't like in Metroidvanias. I really don't like that.
Yeah. I was definitely going up to the limit with it, with the last boss that I fought, which was like a giant inside of a cave. Looked really cool, but it was just too much. Even with the rewind feature, which I used, I abused that to get through the death fight.
All three of these games, I used the rewind feature to hell and back.
Yeah, I didn't have that, and that's probably related to the fact that I'm the only one that didn't finish any of these three games.
The bosses, I think, are aesthetically a lot cooler in this game, though. I think they have really cool designs. We talked about Headhunter in our Slack chat.
Yes, Headhunter was great.
That boss is kind of neat. I really like how Legion looks in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Legion is disgusting in every single game, but I think this one's the most fun design. But I wouldn't say that there's any boss that I enjoyed fighting, like, as a game. Also, God damn, you during, I think while playing Circle of the Moon, you jokingly asked me on Discord, how many times am I going to have to fight this goddamn bat? How many times am I going to have to play the same fucking Dracula fight over and over and it's always the same fight. Every single Castlevania game, it's the same one.
Well, yeah, it's the same guy.
Even when they bring it in for Smash, it's the same fight, and it still sucks there somehow.
Okay, well, in Smash Brothers, it should be the same fight.
It should be, but it still sucks there, which means it shouldn't be. Make a better boss fight. The Dracula fight sucks at every single game because it's the same fight from the NES game where it sucked.
I think I just came to the realization that my favorite controlling Castlevania character is Richter in Smash Brothers.
Which is why you should play Rondo of Blood.
Rondo of Blood's great.
Rondo of Blood is the one that plays like you're controlling Richter from Smash Brothers. He's great.
That's
love
a good
it.
Sell, but I need to like take a break from Castlevania for maybe several months.
That's okay. These games are not remotely similar.
Don't worry. It's fine. We're just going to have to reconvene when the DS collection is inevitably announced.
Oh, no. Please
24
don't.
Hours.
Well, don't worry. I'm told that the DS games are where this franchise gets good.
Finally. They'll finally get good.
Don't worry, everybody. Harmony of Dissonance is supposed to be a good one. Don't worry, everybody. Aria of Sorrow is supposed to be the good one.
I will say, if you are like a huge fan of these games and you're peeved that we don't like them as much and we're ragging on them, I will say Aria of Sorrow is probably a pretty good game. I just happen to be playing it for the show. And so you kind of play a game differently when you're playing it for content rather than if you're playing it.
Said like a man who hasn't turned all of his video game playing into content over the span of 3 hours.
Wise words from known Rune Factory criminal Alex DeFreeze.
What I'm saying is that like I gave up because the grinding got too much and I just didn't want to grind. But if I was in the mood to play a grindy game, I feel like I would have clicked with Aria of Sorrow a lot more. I think this game actually does have quite a bit going for it.
In some ways, as far as playing games for content, I kind of feel the opposite in that I likely would have just not played this game past like the opening couple minutes. I don't think that playing it for content changed how I feel. It just changed like the binary choice of whether I have played enough to feel something.
Sure.
This is the kind of thing where normally I would have just been like, oh, I don't like these first 5 minutes at all. I'm going to stop playing and move on. But instead now, you know, I make a choice to keep playing even though I don't really enjoy it. And thus, here we are.
The first year of Smashterpieces, the entire time of playing Earthbound for Smashterpieces, and also Final Fantasy VIII have broken my ability to not finish games purely out of spite.
Surprise! It's a third episode of Connectivity in a row about making content about video games.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's the third in a row. It's the past three episodes are game clubs. What are you talking about? But yeah, I think I enjoyed them just fine, other than Circle of the Moon, which is in fact a bad game that you should not play. I challenge somebody to come into my Twitter mentions and tell me Circle of the Moon is a good game, because I'll block you immediately.
I am pretty sure that before we moved the Castlevania Game Club chat on Discord to the archive, someone said that Circle of the Moon was probably the best of the bunch.
Oh, wow. I hope you're not listening, sir, because you are the most wrong you could possibly be.
That's probably the reason why we archived it so soon. It was just somebody already has the worst take possible.
This is a lost cause. None of us know that for sure yet, but we can feel it in our bones.
Yeah.
We banned that person from the Discord, right?
No, I don't think we did.
Okay, I'm on my way to do that right now. I don't really have anything else to say about Aria Sorrow. I like Harmony of Dissonance and Aria just fine. I don't think I can picture a scenario anytime soon where I am personally gonna think I should replay Aria of Sorrow. I've archived the Advance Collection, and I don't think I'm ever gonna reinstall it. So that should basically tell you where I'm at. I was fine enough to roll credits. I don't think I'm fine enough to roll credits twice.
So no Dracula X episode is what you're saying.
I played Dracula X. It's bad. There's your episode. That's your episode.
Dracula X is just, what if Rondo of Blood was worse?
What if Rondo of Blood like had most of its content removed? You couldn't play as Maria, and it had the actual worst version of the Dracula fight I've ever fought.
Alex, how do you feel about the Castlevania franchise? Your first impression of it?
Visually interesting gameplay. It's a lot of annoyances in a row, and then it asks you to grind through those annoyances. And at some point, you have to kind of like choose whether or not you're okay with doing the grinding. And I was just not.
And that's a big reason why I think you should, in fact, go try like Rondo of Blood, not Dracula X, Rondo of Blood, because the main reason why there's so many small annoyances is because all of these games have one thing in common, and it's that the level, the enemy placement and level design is still built as a Castlevania game.
Mm-hmm. And these just aren't the same game.
And like, you can't have the same sort of enemy placement as something like Rondo of Blood if the intention is that the player is supposed to backtrack back and forth multiple times to like through that area. The level design in classic Castlevania works because you are going through it, and once you are past it, you are past it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the main flaw.
Until you die and have to play the level again.
Until you die and have to play the level again, but that's just that's just platformers. I think that's the main place where these games sort of fall flat in general at the end.
Yeah. I think you definitely should play Rondo of Blood. Do not play Dracula X. But on that note, Alex, I think you've just been drafted into a Smashterpieces bonus episode about Dracula X.
Yeah.
Play Rondo of Blood first. For dear Lord, please play Rondo of Blood first.
Wouldn't it be more interesting if I don't?
Yeah, but I want you to play Rondo of Blood because it's good and I like it.
And if you're playing it and you're like, I don't know, Richter, it just feels too difficult, then we can tell you how to unlock Maria, at which point the game stops being hard. Because Maria Renard is the most powerful character in Castlevania history. And the 10-year-old specifically, she gets weaker when she becomes an adult in Symphony of the Night.
So this is overall an interesting, I don't want to say it's an end cap. It's an end cap to my Castlevania journey, because I'm probably going to sunk cost my way through the DS games.
Yeah, when the DS collection comes out, we're doing this again, right? All three of us.
I'm like, okay, so like, I always kind of wanted to play them, but now I'm like, I can't play them just in case.
I kind of want to batch a bunch of like Mario Party monthly punishments on Xander, so he has to do all of this.
Oh God! Let's make Xander play Circle of the Moon. All that's the best idea any of us have ever had. Holy shit.
Does he listen to Connectivity?
I don't know, but we're going to find out.
So as like a footnote in my journey of, not a footnote, a station of the cross in my journey through the Castlevania franchise. Station of
the cross. The boomerang cross, specifically.
Rondo of Blood for Smashterpieces was a very interesting time for me because that game did legitimately change the way that I look at difficulty in video games and realized I think I really like when games are harder and really give me a challenge. So that's just a very important game to me. And for the Smashterpieces stream, because it was on the same collection immediately after finishing Rondo of Blood, I played about an hour of Symphony of the Night on that stream. And I immediately went, oh no, I think I hate this. And just got really upset that this game that I loved in Rondo of Blood just ended there. And an entire franchise not only like replaced it, but was more popular than Rondo ever was. And that moment was one that for the next four games in this franchise, I kept trying to pretend didn't happen.
Well, to be fair, the main reason that happened is because Rondo never came out here.
Well, yes.
And Symphony of the Night's main competitor in the Castlevania franchise was Castlevania 64.
Mm-hmm. And it's just that moment was decided way back at the beginning of 2019. And I think that's just like that, my very first impression with Metroidvania, as it was called before we decided that was the name of a genre. That's just how I feel now. I'm just sad.
So, what did y'all think of Bloodstained? Didn't you guys enjoy that one?
I played Bloodstained before I played Rondo of Blood, I think.
Okay.
And I do remember liking it, but also of these games, it is the most recent one. So, like, yeah, it kind of should be the best one. And Joe, I don't think you played Bloodstained, right?
No, I own it on Switch, but I have not played it.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Switch is easily the worst version.
Didn't they fix that?
Did they? I don't know. Yeah, I wasn't paying attention. It got
patched into a serviceable version of the game.
I think I've heard something about that.
I don't know.
There's also those NES style Bloodstained games.
I should try those. I haven't, but I should.
Yeah, because that seems like it might be up your alley.
I think it would be, yeah. But overall, I think we've said pretty much all we can say about the Castlevania Game Boy Advance collection.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Do you guys have any last thoughts?
Soma Cruz is dumb, and he literally just looks like Juice Belmont, too.
I like Richter in Smash Brothers.
Richter Belmont is cool, and he's the top... Well, no, he's not the top because Maria Renard, but Richter Belmont is the best Belmont.
Hear it here first. Richter is not the top.
He is not, no. I've seen how that man carries himself in public. There's no way in hell.
Well, with that, I think that is where we are going to wrap up the Castlevania Game Boy Advance Game Club. So if you want to send us an email to tell us what you think of these Castlevania games, you can send it to...
What are you guys doing here?
Fuck, get out of here, shoot, run!
Shoot. I'm not going back to jail, Reardon!
Okay. I have control of the episode again. Give me 1 second to finish killing off Matt Zawodniak.